That is the sound of a physical therapy session at the University of Louisville, designed specifically for people with spinal cord injuries. Kent Stevenson is on a treadmill working to put one foot in front of the other as a team of trainers helps guide his legs. There's a harness holding him upright, and he needs help, but Stevenson is, in a sense, walking again, thanks to new research from the Kentucky Spinal Cord Injury Research Center. The fact that he's making movements is amazing because just 10 years ago, Stevenson was in an accident that changed his life forever.
I was out practicing on a track and going off the face of a jump. My motor locked up and I tried to jump away from the bike. Didn't work for me. Landed and kind of just cartwheeled somersaults and everything, and dust settled. And I pretty much knew instantly that I couldn't move my legs, and then waited, and ambulance got there, and then they rolled me over, heard a bunch of pops and everything, and then it really set in once I got out at the hospital, the care flight, and I saw the reflection of my body, and I could see that I still had my knee braces and stuff on, and I couldn't feel it, and that's when it set in for me that this was serious, you know, that I really had done something.
Stevenson came to Louisville from Texas to be part of an experimental treatment for spinal cord injuries that has helped him regain some motion, even if he'll never make a full recovery. The woman behind this research is Dr. Susan Harkema. In her office in Louisville, she says spinal cord injuries affect a lot more than a person's voluntary movements. So she's working for incremental victories over paralysis that can mean major improvements for a patient's quality of life.
So somebody's paralyzed and literally almost everything's taken away from them. Mm-hmm. You think about it as they can't walk again. That's just the tip of the iceberg. They lose the ability to breathe. They lose, not completely, obviously, but they
makes it much more difficult.
They
for
don't
them to
breathe as well. Mm-hmm. Their heart doesn't function as well. They can't eat as well. They lose bowel, bladder, sexual function. They can't regulate their temperature. Everything does not function like it did before.
Harkema's lab is pioneering the use of something called an epidural stimulator, a surgical implant that sends a continuous electrical current to the nervous system. It's sometimes used to treat pain, but when Dr. Harkema and her colleagues used the device to stimulate the lower portions of the spinal cord, they found it could help some patients with spinal cord injuries regain voluntary motion in their lower bodies without actually repairing the neurological gap created by the spinal cord injury itself.
After a spinal cord injury, as devastating as that is, mm-hmm. it's only where the bone is broken that the neurons die. And that's thousands of neurons. But there's millions more below the injury that are still alive and healthy and under the right conditions can function. And above the injury, there's millions of neurons that are alive and healthy. And we understand that. We know above the injury they're alive and healthy. What we haven't thought about is below the injury they are too. And we've never targeted those for recovery. That's what we do here. We're understanding how they function below the injury. And then how can we get the ones above to communicate below?
So just to use an example or to liken it to a physical object, let's say it's an electrical cord. What you're saying is that the part of the electrical cord that's going into the socket, that part works. The part that's going into the device works. There's just a gap, and you're trying to figure out how to make everything else work, even though that one part is completely broken.
Well, yes, we thought it was, but it must not be. So that's the thing. So where it started was in animals, every species, and most importantly in a mammal, adult mammal, it was known that if you completely transected the spinal cord, you could get a cat, for example, to relearn how to get their hind limbs to step again. Okay, if that's true in an adult mammal, then if we took a clinically complete human being and used the same strategy, we could get them to relearn to walk, theoretically. So we took those people by every diagnosis, every clinical and neurophysiological diagnosis to be clinically complete. So that means, like you're saying, is that, okay, the wire is completely cut. Mm-hmm. But what we found was it wasn't completely cut.
That discovery means it might be possible to restore some motion and physiological functions once thought to be lost forever.
We're not doing anything with the injury. We're just working with those millions of neurons that are still alive and viable. They haven't been injured. That's the circuitry we're working with.
Okay? So what kind of success have you had?
So we've had varied success. And I want to point one other thing out. Mm-hmm. We've had successes not just using the epidural stimulator, but understanding how the circuitry works. So I just want to put – that's the important thing to understand too. And I think what's important to know is that we've had successes with people who have been injured for many years, but the successes are varied. And nobody is back to where they were before their injury. But we've had people who couldn't move their legs who can now move their legs. People who could not stand who can now stand. People who could not take steps who can now take steps. People who blood pressures were so low that they would pass out 4 or 5 times a day who now can sit up, are more alert, and can talk to their family members who couldn't do a load of laundry because they were passing out who now can do that and can cook. Person who used to be a singer who couldn't sing a note and now, as she says, sings but mostly still in the shower. Okay, so this is what I'm saying is we call it incremental victories over paralysis, getting closer and closer back to normal.
So what does getting closer and closer to normal mean for Kent Stevenson, who we heard earlier during his physical therapy session?
I got all my voluntary movements back and my independent standing is coming back. I'm looking forward to getting off a little medication for my bladder, and so I'm looking forward to getting rid of that.
How long do you think you'll continue to come here?
I'll come till they kick me out. It's awesome. I mean, it's just the positive atmosphere and just being able to do things that you were told you'd never be able to do. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, really knowing people who haven't been able to go through this and see how their life is. I mean, it's given me it kind of brings your body back to life from how it is when you get hurt. Everything just kind of cuts off. And you're a newborn baby, and you really can't tap back into a lot of stuff. But with this, it's given me the ability to tap back into what was cut off, and just the overall health benefits I've seen are just tremendous. Because, I mean, the only medication I take is that one bladder thing, and it's just for spasms, which I can see getting off of that because I can feel all this coming back, like just coming back around, coming back alive, it feels like.
Stevenson is one of just 21 people who have received the epidural stimulator treatment for a spinal cord injury so far. Dr. Harkema cautions that it is not suitable for everybody with a spinal cord injury, and there are always risks with surgery, especially for people whose immune systems might be compromised by a spinal cord injury. But the researchers hope FDA approval will allow medical device manufacturers to expand the reach of this new treatment.
By activating the neuromuscular system below the level of injury, taking advantage of this whole capacity, all these systems, motor, bowel, bladder, sexual function, cardiovascular system, respiratory, all could be better for people who are initially injured and even those that have been injured for many years. The challenge is access. Is getting the information to clinicians to get the technology available so people have access to it, getting the rehabilitation centers to be able to provide it.
How soon will that happen? How soon will this be widely available around the country?
Well, it's difficult because it's not the scientists that make those decisions. It's the other stakeholders. It's the healthcare providers, right? It's the healthcare system that we have. It's insurance companies. It's legislators. It's all those things, right? So sometimes I say the science is the easy part, right? It's all these other things that are more difficult. So all the stakeholders have to come together in order to get the delivery there. And there's still discoveries to be made. There's still more trials to be done. There's still a lot of work to be done.
Harkema's work has received funding from the National Institutes of Health and numerous other groups, including the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, the Craig H. Nielsen Foundation, and the Helmsley Charitable Trust. Funding that has allowed her to continue a focus on helping people with spinal cord injuries for 25 years.
What made you decide to spend so much of your time working on this issue?
Well, first of all, like I'm just a hardcore scientist at heart. I love discovering new things. But I'm going to say it was the first person I worked with spinal cord injury who, I'll tell you, the first experiment I did was not that successful. And that person took me out for lunch, and I was like, are you crazy? And he said, thank you for trying. And, you know, from that, certainly that moment on, I certainly was hooked. I mean, this is an incredible group of people who you cannot even imagine how hard every minute of every day is, and their strength and courage and just incredible motivation that they have just to get through the day. That in itself is inspiring. And so, you know, it's easy. It's easy to be dedicated.